The first of the devotional series of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior entitled Artwork About His Work. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then, speaking of the crown of His creation, on the last day of creation, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Framed above the fireplace in our fireside room is one of the most beautiful paintings of the creation of Adam that I've seen. Now, to be sure, it's not the world-famous depiction of God's creating man, which Michelangelo painted on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in 1508. But the lithograph of the creation of Adam that you see pictured here and hangs in our fireside room is beautifully unique in that it was done by a young man named Bradley J. Parrish. He was only 16 years old, one half the age of Michelangelo when he painted his famous creation of Adam on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Bradley Parrish lived with his mother in a small rented apartment. Having no money for an easel or canvas, the young man drew his creation of Adam on plain paper that was placed upon the kitchen floor. The completed pastel won him national acclaim when it was entered into and won a 1974 national competition of 2,000 artists at the Chicago Institute of Art. In gratitude to God for his artistic talents, Parrish gave 400 lithographs of his original pastel, which no longer exists, to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 1989. We were blessed to be one of the very few congregations to be given one of the lithographs. Unlike Michelangelo's painting of the hand of God reaching out and creatively touching the hand of man he makes in his own image, based, it seems, on the Genesis 1 account, Parrish portrays Adam's creation as more specifically described in Genesis 2. Genesis 2 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Can't you see that in Parrish's beautiful portrayal? The dry earth, like a cocoon breaking open, unveils the first man, Adam, which is also related to the Hebrew word meaning ruddy. Ruddy, having a healthy reddish color and complexion, just as is here portrayed in the forehead, the cheeks, the eyelids of Adam, such a handsome young man, fully formed as would be his wife Eve, neither ever going through the stages of life that their progeny, their sons and daughters, would. A man of perfect proportions, so healthy-looking, so vital, so strong, his strength portrayed in even the squareness of his jaw. The freshness of his creation evident in the blood coursing through his veins, giving them the bluish hue which only appears when red blood has been oxygenated, only when it has the breath of life breathed into it, which God Himself did, according to Genesis 2:7, which reads, "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Doesn't it appear that Parrish has here captured the very moment after which God had breathed into Adam the breath of life? His eyelids are still closed, about to open for the first time to see, for the first time and as the first one in the history of the world, what his Creator had created for man to rule over as God's governing agent on earth. The best created last. The best because he bore the very image of God. God's perfect righteousness and holiness personally reflected in the crown of his creation, even as it would be in the helpmeet, his female counterpart, which he would create from the bone and the flesh of Adam's side. The spiritually, mentally, biologically perfect companion fit for the perfect man, that together they might be perfectly united and fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with spiritually, mentally, biologically perfect sons and daughters. That's right. Just pause. Just imagine for a moment of what Adam's eyes must have seen. Perfection. In fact, he and Eve were the only ones to go to sleep at night and to awake in the morning to behold everything around them in absolute perfection. But don't imagine it too long, because it didn't last as long as God had intended. No, you know what happened. St. Paul put it very simply and succinctly. Through one man, namely Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death is spread to all men because all sinned. You see, the life-taking viruses and riots and lawlessness and anarchy of our time and all the other destructive forces of society are but agents of sin, the sin within us all, sin manifesting itself in a myriad of destructive ways, tearing our lives apart, our families, our culture, society, our nation, the world, tearing it all apart. It all happens because perfection tragically morphed into imperfection. Sinlessness mutated into sinfulness, our sinfulness. And there's not a thing that those born of the first man and woman could do to reverse their slide down the slippery slope to the eternal abyss outside of Eden. Indeed, no one born of man and woman could do anything to reverse the course of humanity's sin-generated destiny. But dear friend, as St. Paul said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born not of man and woman, but of woman, and born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And elsewhere Paul writes, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. You see, what the first Adam, because of his fall into sin, could not do, the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, would do and did do. Once again, the Apostle Paul. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, namely Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, namely Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. From the first Adam, the second Adam, the Son of God, receives his human nature. From the second Adam, who is the only begotten Son of God, the first Adam, and all of his progeny, including all of us, receive our baptismal adoption as the sons of God, an adoption secured by the shed blood, by the life-giving sacrifice of the second Adam, God in flesh. Think on those things when you again view the creation of Adam in the fireside room. Your physical being and mortality come through the first Adam. Your spiritual life, immortality, eternal life come through the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed you, body and soul. And so here it is. The story of Scripture begins with the creation of the heavens and the earth and its righteousness being lost by the fall of the first Adam into sin. And Scripture ends with the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, upon which, because of the redeeming work of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, righteousness dwells forever. How good it is to know, especially in times such as these, that the best is indeed yet to come. Welcome to our new devotional series, Artwork, about His work. In His name, Amen.